We find the brachos of all of Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael is united. All the brothers come together, and together they comprise one united nation. We find this idea throughout Sefer Bereishis, the importance of working together as opposed to working divided. The whole Sefer is divided. Kayin is against Hevel, Yishmael is against Yitzchak, Esav is against Yaakov. The brothers are against Yosef, and finally the Sefer can end when Ephraim and Manasseh, they can work together. And what I'd like to discuss is basically a topic that's gone by. We ended up losing a number of sichot this year for various other activities on Thursday nights. And Sefer Bereishis cannot go through our grips where we don't talk about the chaste avos, the concept of connection, of being united with one another. We're probably not going to bring Mashiach and unity to the entire Jewish world right now, but at the very least, in this small embodiment of Am Yisrael, in our Kehila, we could at least work on a few ideas. See, I was raised, born and bred in New York, and over there, what I noticed is everyone's called a nice person. If you ask the average Joe, "Are you nice?" he will tell you, "I am." Now, if you ask him to define that, that's a little bit funny. You know, you could sometimes go to funerals or listen to them, the eulogies. You know, Jack was a really great guy. He never killed anyone. He never, you know, stabbed anyone. He didn't rob a bank. And sometimes the praise and greatness of someone is really from the negative formulation that he didn't do anything terrible. I'd like to suggest that maybe it's time to grow a little bit deeper into this idea. And we'll start with a famous story about Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken was approached by a ger. And this ger, he wanted to, a non-Jew, he wanted to learn all of Torah while standing on one foot. He had already approached Shammai HaZaken. Shammai waved a pillar at him. Either he was very strong, or maybe the Maharsha says he waved a Torah at him, the pillar of the world. He said, "You expect me, it's a chutzpah, I'm going to teach you a development, an evolution of 3,000 years in 1 minute. How could I possibly do that?" And he waved the pillar of the world, the Torah, at him. Okay, however you understand it, he then went back on the road and found Hillel HaZaken. And he found Hillel and he said, "Teach me all of Torah while I stand on one foot." And Hillel said, basically, not exactly, but basically, v'yahavta l'rayacha kamocha, loving your friend like yourself, that is kol haTorah kula. Love your friend like yourself, that is kol haTorah kula. This is a little bit funny. You know, I put on tefillin in the morning. Yeah, that's v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha. You keep Shabbos, v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha. Kosher, of course, v'ahavta l'rayacha. None of these things have to do with love your friend like yourself. Why did he say? He pulled the wool over his eyes. He was just kidding. Yeah, just love everybody. That's really all of Torah. And once you get him in, then you'll show him, okay, there's actually other things. He didn't have to say that is all of Torah. It's not all of Torah, seemingly. So I'd like to suggest a few possibilities of how it actually could be all of Torah. See, we don't actually have a clear picture of God. You don't see God. It's very difficult to say, I got him. And a lot of people here have told me as well that they have difficulty relating to him because I can't see him. I could talk to my friends because I could see them. I could talk to my friends over the telephone because they respond. To talk to Hashem, I don't know if he's actually there. It's very difficult to create a relationship with someone you don't know is there. And the best concept of a relationship you could possibly create is only with ones and people that you actually can relate to. And the better you have a relationship with people down here, the better you can transfer that to Ribbono Shel'olam. If you don't have a relationship with people, with mankind, you don't have a relationship with God. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says it so beautifully that the guy that's really a zealot in his prayers, and he's taken out that talis, and it's a beautiful talis, and it's got multiple stripes, and it's got tchelet, and he is so into it, and he takes that talis and whips all the people in his radius as he's throwing it around his shoulder. So he's very, very into his religious fervor into God, but not into any... He doesn't actually have a relationship with people. He's selfish. He doesn't look. He doesn't think about other people. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter points out, then he doesn't actually have a relationship with Hashem. You can't have a relationship with Hashem if you don't have a relationship with people. Comes the story of Noach. Noach, there's terrible, destructive behavior going on in his day. Idol worship, promiscuous behavior. It's all men, women. There's no family structure. Hashem has had it. I want to wipe out the earth. But he doesn't set the decree of the Mabul until he sees the destruction of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. You don't care about each other? Now there could be destruction. As long as you like each other, you work well with each other, so then there's room for change. There's always room for a better relationship with Hashem. You don't like each other, you don't work well with each other, then there's no, you just pass the point of no return. That's destruction. Now, I was raised, I guess, in a when Seinfeld was just getting started. And I don't know how many of you know this, but he started out actually in stand-up. And it was quite excellent. So he pointed out the following scene. You know how when you're in the mall and then it's time that they close up and the doors are glass, perfectly clean glass, and you can't even tell that it's closed. And then you see like people running and they're just going to bish right into that. So he said he was walking with his wife and kids. And this guy is running, he's really late, and he's going to go right into that glass. And my wife says, don't you think you should say something? And I'm like, shut up, I'm watching this. So, and he hits right into the glass, and he like dribbled off the window, like boom, and he falls back, and it was just unbelievable. He said, but I did do a good thing. I called an ambulance, I thought I'd hyperventilate. So, I was, slow reaction. I was in camp, and when I was in camp, we had a boy who was very meticulous. And this boy, I don't exactly know why, but he just was that type that was calling for us to make fun of him. He was one of those. He had it written on him. And I was in high school. And so I fell for the addiction. And you see, I mean, he's a kid that spent his summer carving out a snake out of the wood. We were actually learning Maseches Avodah Zarah that summer. I thought that was kind of funny. So we burned it. then he had to figure out a solution for hanging his laundry. I don't know what possessed him, but he hung a string, a rope, from one rafter to the other above his bed. So this rope is hanging above. And there's a boy who had very serious sleeping problems. And he would be so dead to the world when it was time to wake him. The counselor would go right up to his ear and scream, Goldhaber! And he's dead, nothing. And he'd scream it as that And then once, he lifted his bed all the way to the wall, vertical, perfectly. The boy slid in between, like the wall and the bed, was on the floor, still asleep. And it was just too juicy to give it up. And so we cut down that rope that he spent quite a while hanging. I didn't think I would see this, but he cried. That gave me quite a serious lesson. Maybe we went too far. I don't know where he is today. I hope he's well. I hope the trauma that we put him through did not ruin him. However, as I grew up a little bit more, I could tell you that's part of growing up. I went, when I was right after my bar mitzvah, to an old age home in Paterson, New Jersey. Paterson, New Jersey used to be once upon a time a very Jewish place. It's no longer a very Jewish place. The only people that are there, that left, are the people in the Federation. The Jewish Federation building, it's like an old age home. And they are the most hysterically funny people. They don't mean to be, but we mean it to be that way. So we would go, we walked 2 miles to help daven and lane for them. Now, I don't really know Yiddish, but we figured out one of the numbers, Zibin and Svantik. So they had no idea what page they were on. We would always just say, Zibin and Svantik. Everything was on Zibin and Svantik. And it was just the greatest laughs. These people are the funniest people on the planet. And they were the greatest moments. You go, Jack, get up on here. And Jack can hear. And you have these people trying to say Kaddish. And it's just, you know, everything that would take place at that old age home was comedy. And it was well worth the 2 mile walk. It's not because we were tzaddikim. We just needed our comedy relief Shabbos morning. Well, I was at the Kotel for a Fairlawn Bar Mitzvah, my hometown. And Rabbi Benji Yudin, so he was at this Bar Mitzvah at the Kotel. This story took place about 10 years ago. And Rabbi Yudin puts his arm around the Bar Mitzvah boy and says, you know, you're so lucky. Because now that you're Bar Mitzvah, you can lean for other people. And he says to the Bar Mitzvah boy, do you know the reason why I know Chumash as well as I do? Because when I was your age and I became a Bar Mitzvah boy, there was an old age home down the block from me. And I went ahead and I would lean for them every Shabbos. And could you imagine the pressure? They're old, they're hard of hearing, no one could correct you. I couldn't believe he said that. I also went to an old age home and I knew they were hard of hearing. Yeah. So that's the difference between me and Rabbi Yudin. Rabbi Aryeh Yudin, for those that know him, I'll tell you a wild story that you may not know. So he was a fun kid. He was an NC Esquire of mine. We had great times. I'll leave those great times to him to tell. Got me in trouble sometimes. And Rabbi Aryeh Yudin, when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, he had a meeting in New York, in Manhattan. And he got confused about the time that he had to be there. It was 3 hours early. That's a bad confusion. What do you do in Manhattan if you're 3 hours early to a meeting? You could think for a moment. So Rabbi Aryeh Yudin concluded, you go to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital and visit the old people. And he's sitting there visiting an old person, an elderly man, And they're talking. Where are you from? Says, Fairlawn, New Jersey. Fairlawn, New Jersey. Do you know Rabbi Yudin? Rabbi Benji Yudin? His father. I've heard of him. So he says, you remind me of him. Because when I was sick 20 years ago out in Brooklyn, he drove all the way from Fairlawn, New Jersey to visit me when no one else is in my life that could come and visit me. He somehow reminded it. See, when you get more mature, it's not about making fun of other people anymore. I thought that's what life was about. At least that's what Seinfeld taught me. But as I got a little bit older, started to learn, and saw a boy cry that I was involved with, I realized maybe that wasn't pshat. Maybe it's time to actually be caring for people. And I'll tell you just a few stories about righteousness. This is an amazing story. This is one of my favorites. There was a guy, Rabbi Zevi Trank. Last year when I told over the story, there was actually a person from Muncie who knows him, who knew him. And there was this man, Rabbi Zevi Trank, is a first grade Rebbe, maybe a third grade Rebbe. And he went to a wedding, and at the wedding, there was a grandmother, a bubby there, who needed a ride actually back to Muncie, and she heard that he lives there. Can I get a ride with you? Sure, I'm going. So off they go. It's Rabbi Trank, his wife, and the bubby. And this bubby says to him, can I tell you a terrible story? Do I have a choice? I'm a captured audience. Go right ahead. And the lady starts and tells him about the sitter party that her granddaughter had earlier that morning. And the teacher had a wonderful idea. She just didn't know how to execute it well. The wonderful idea was that the little children at their sitter party should learn the midah of sharing together with getting their sitter. So she told them to bring some food item and all the kids will share with each other so they'll learn sharing. But my granddaughter lost the petek, the piece of paper that had the kosher, supervisions that are accepted. And it was never given to my daughter, who bought her something that wasn't okayed by the school, by the teacher. And we're not talking right now about the teacher's conduct. But the teacher took away the item from my daughter, from my granddaughter. And my granddaughter ended up getting her sitter in tears, standing in the corner the whole time because no one would give her anything, being that she couldn't share with them. Isn't that a terrible story? Rabbi Trank said, yes, that's a terrible story. Now, for most of us, it would be a terrible story, and that's the end of the story. You get to the bubby's home. I hope you and your granddaughter will be well and happy and showing. That's the end. Rabbi Trent continued to ask a few more questions. And what's your granddaughter's name, and where is she from? Well, the next morning, Rabbi Zevi Trent calls up this house and says, my name is Rabbi Zevi Trank. Is Sarah there? And this little kindergartner answered, I'm Sarah. And he says, you're Sarah. I am Rabbi Zevi Trank, the president of Torah Umesorah, the way I'm the president of the United States. And we just had a raffle of all the little boys and girls that just had a sitter party this week. And you won? And you got a beautiful white leather-bound sitter with your name written on it in gold. I just need to know how your whole Hebrew name goes. He didn't have to do that. No one put him up to it. He's not known as one of the Gdolei Adar. He's not known as the guy that knows all of Shas. He's just got a huge heart. What a tzaddik. Unbelievable. I think that's what we're after. I'll tell you a crazy story. I told my halacha shir this story. This is a story of an alumnus, Eric Wittenberg, who's getting married to Mirza Hashem in a month and a half. And Eric Wittenberg was part of the group, the whole yeshiva. We went off to Har Herzl on Yom HaZikaron. And on Har Herzl, on Yom HaZikaron, on Memorial Day, there are a lot of tears shed. A lot of people lost close ones. And the army is concerned. It's always hot and high emotions, so they give out water bottles. But unfortunately, not everyone is grateful, and they leave their half-drunk water bottles strewn all over the place. It's really not so nice. And there are thousands, literally thousands of water bottles all over. So we started the tour. Citrin was leading, and Eric Wittenberg decided he's going to clean up the water bottles from the floor. So he starts picking up, 1, 2, 3, under the arm. He's got 3, 4, 5. Okay, Eric, I'm really sorry. It's now time to go, you know. We got to a clearing. There were like 20 water bottles. We'll just have to give up. No, not so fast. And he puts down the bottles. We had packaged sandwiches that day. So he takes all the items out of the bag, sticks them in his pocket. Now I've got a bag. So he gets like 20 bottles into the bag. And we keep going. We get to a clearing. There must have been, I don't know, 100 bottles there. So I was like, Eric, we were in the back. I was holding up the back. He was the second to last. I was waiting for him. I'm really sorry. It's now time to just get moving. He says, no. Puts down his knapsack. Opens it up and pulls out garbage bags. Why do you have garbage bags? So he says, well, Rav Machlis always tells us, it's part of the chesed kit. You never know where you'll need them. They're a remarkable concept. And I want to kind of bring it down. Bring it home. There can't be, I don't think there's anybody here that has an enemy with someone else. I haven't heard of such stories. There are enemies amongst us. However, there can't be a concept that someone here is not your dear friend. A dear friend means someone you'd be ready to invite for Shabbos. A dear friend means someone that you're ready to go out with him. A dear friend is someone that you'll care about him equally as the next guy. It can't be that I'm like the mafia. My friends, I'm very close with people. I have very good relationships with my buddies. All the people that aren't my buddies, well, I'll blow them and their families up. So that can't be that I dislike lots and lots of people. And I like other people, and that's called a good relationship, and that's good Hashem, therefore, because I know how to have a good relationship with some people, girls. Right? There's got to be a way to have a relationship with other people, all people, everyone. There's a guy in this community that took me to a Din Torah. That's a court. Why? A fascinating story that we got when we used to get apartments for the yeshiva dorms. And I figured out how to go straight to the owner. But the owner had made a deal with the real estate agent that the real estate has exclusive rights to rent out his place. And the owner went against his deal that he had with the agent. And he rented it to us, to the yeshiva directly. And this friend of mine, I thought he was a friend of mine, took me to court over the fact that he wants his real estate money. I have to tell you something. He's still a friend of mine. He called me up. He explained to me the issue, and I said, you know, I'll tell you the truth. That's a great question. I don't have much time on my hands. If I am chayiv, if I'm obligated, I want to pay. I don't want to go to heaven and then be told, sorry, you didn't pay so-and-so. I want to make good on it. This guy, he snores. Can't be friends with him. This guy, he writes funny. Can't be friends. This guy, I don't like the way he blows his nose. This guy, he took two schnitzels that first day. I wanted two schnitzels. Can't be friends. There are a lot of like funny things, funny reasons why we choose these friends and not these. And then there's the clicky things. That was never in the halls of Leva Torah. That never existed here. Dr. Fruchter, our dear doctor, he said that two stories. One from Dr. Fruchter, one from the Meir Yeshiva, and then we'll wrap up. First, Dr. Fruchter. He said that he's been to every yeshiva and seminary the past 25 years. And there's one place that consistently everyone says thank you. And that's here in Leva Torah. He said, I know that's crazy that other places don't have that stat, but they don't. What's coming out of here is nice people, good midos. That's why you're here. You have good midos, you could have a great relationship with Hashem. You don't have good midos, it's a fictitious relationship. It's mirror images. Another story along the same lines. The Meir Yeshiva, not a place where they are quick to be complimenting Lev HaTorah. My Rav has a number of children that were in the Meir Yeshiva. In the days when the Meir also had a team on the football league. And our guys have a team. And this son of my rabbi, he told me over a Shabbos meal, by the way, you know that in the entire league, the Lev guys are known as the nicest guys. We did make it to the championship that year. Doesn't mean that you don't play well, but it means you play clean, you're nice, on the court. When someone misses a shot, you're the guys that say, good try. You continue to pass the ball. You continue to work with everyone. That's what it means to be nice. Emir Tzashem, we're not going to wait till Purim when we're all under the influence and then everyone's your friend because you don't know better and you're just happy for no real reason. I love you! And you won't even remember it. Everyone should be your friend, literally. I hope I'm not sounding corny on this point, but this is Kol HaTorah Kula. I believe that Hillel HaZaken was absolutely correct, that if we connect starting tonight, if there's anyone that you haven't invited yet to go out with, if there's anyone that you haven't yet invited to go out with you for a Shabbos, now's the time. Go out to ice cream. I love that place. That's great stuff. There's pizza places. There are all sorts. You know the places. Go out as groups. If there are people that haven't been part of your cliques, no more cliques. Emet Hashem will all grow in this midah of unity and our small embodiment of Am Yisrael. As we grow in this unity, in this achdus, so will all of Kol Yisrael.